As you heard, today's subject matter is going to be the story of Zacchaeus, a man who lived in the city of Jericho, a city that lies about 30 miles east of the city of Jerusalem. And if you've ever been to that region, it's a very dry region, very hot. And Jericho must have a source of water because when you get to the city of Jericho, you see all these palm trees. You see trees and date trees. And it seems to thrive because there is water in that area. But most people would just use it to go by and continue on their way to Jerusalem. And Luke chapter 19 tells us that Jesus entered and basically was only passing through this city called Jericho. Now, we all know the story of Jericho, don't we? Joshua tells us very clearly that the walls came tumbling down. This was a city that was conquered by the Israelites as they marched around the city for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they marched 7 times and shouted, and God performed a miracle. These immense walls came crumbling down, and the children of Israel conquered this city. Oh, thousands of years had basically gone by. About 1,500 years had gone by. And now Jesus was passing through this city. I don't know about you, but when you're only passing through a place, you really don't want to stay, do you? I can remember my dad taking us on these road trips to visit my grandparents, and we would all get into a car. One time we were living in Bering Springs, Michigan, and my grandparents were living in West Palm Beach, Florida, or Boca Raton, Florida. And then my parents were living in Monte Morelos, Mexico, and we would do this road trip almost every summer. It would take us about 35 hours, sometimes more than that. And I can remember my father doing those first 20 hours all by himself, just driving through, getting as close as he could to the house of my grandparents. But the moment he would stop at a rest area, that was the second most boring place for me as a child beside the store. You know, mom takes you to the store and you're like, oh no, why do I have to be here? I could be playing with my friends, but the rest area was just not the place. And I can remember at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, getting out of that car, seeing all these semi-trucks out there, vroom, vroom, vroom. And I would just walk around there and just say, when is my dad going to start the trip again? I want to go to see my grandparents. So I don't want to be here this long. And 3 o'clock in the morning, I would go to him and say, Dad, are you ready to drive again? And I could just see him just look at me and go, one more hour, one more hour. I don't know how he did this every summer with me in that car. But he did. He was very patient with me. And about an hour later, he would say, okay, let's start the car. The moment he started, I would fall asleep, of course. And arrived 10, 12 hours later at my grandparents' place. And it was happy, but staying in a place, not good. And maybe some of you have been stuck in an airport. Not a good thing. Hours go by and it seems like eternity. Jesus was only going through. But as he arrived to Jericho, he found a crowd. A crowd that was looking to see him. And among this crowd was a man by the name of Zacchaeus, or Zacchaeus. His name, probably given by his mother or his father. In the Spanish culture, I'm Samuel because guess who's Samuel? My father, Samuel. And it's kind of like a tradition. You give your first son your name. Maybe in a sense, you know, look up to your dad as an example. Some parents give a name because they see significance in that name. Somebody who was famous, somebody who did something good, and they give this name to their child. I want to believe that Zacchaeus received his name from his mom or dad. And as I was looking at his name means pure, innocent. Something that the parents wanted to give to this son. And we find out that Zacchaeus was probably not the most innocent of people. The Bible tells us he was a chief of what? Tax collectors. He was wealthy. Nothing bad about being a chief, a head, a boss of something. Nothing bad being wealthy. But being the chief of the tax collectors, now that's different. It was like being the head of the mob. But the text tells us that Zacchaeus wanted to see who Jesus was. I don't know what he heard. Jesus had been doing ministry for over 3 years now when he arrived to Jericho. Probably heard about his healing. He probably heard about his teaching. And in Luke, we find that Jesus said, "Tax collectors, do not collect more than what is due." You see, it was common practice for tax collectors to say, "Rome needs 5% of your money. But guess what? I need an extra 2.5% of your money." And they would increase the taxes, and they would give 5% to Rome, and that 2.5% they would keep for their own pleasure. Zacchaeus was one of those tax collectors, but he wanted to know who Jesus was. Maybe he heard this man is kind. This man, he speaks with everyone. In fact, one of his disciples by the name of Matthew, I think he's also a tax collector. Wow! A good guy has a disciple who used to be a tax collector. I want to know who he is, what he looks like. But as he got closer to the multitude, he couldn't see. The people were pressing close to Jesus. I can imagine the noise, the hustle and bustle of everybody around him. And Jesus was slowly making himself go through the city's streets there in Jericho, trying to get past that city, maybe get a few supplies on his way to Jerusalem. You see, Jesus came with a mission. And his mission was to save and to seek those who were lost. And he was going to Jerusalem to give his life for you and for me. The ultimate sacrifice was going to be paid just a few weeks later. So Zacchaeus thought, what can I do? I'll run up ahead and I'll climb up this tree. I know that Jesus has to go through that area. I won't be able to talk to him. He's probably going to be too busy, surrounded by so many people. I probably won't even be able to shake his hand. But at least I'll see him. And I'll share with my children that day. I'll go back home saying, I saw him. And he's more than what people say he is. He looked at me, maybe. He smiled. I don't know, but Zacchaeus was hoping something special would happen. And we, of course, know the story. It's a very short story there in the New Testament, chapter 19. Few verses. But the Bible tells us that when Jesus came up to that tree, he said the following words. First of all, it says, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Hurry. Don't lose time. Come down, for today I must abide at your house. Not tomorrow, but when? Today, I must abide in your house. I think Zacchaeus almost fell off the branch there. He was, what? Jesus, you want to come to my house? Do you know who I am? I'm this like evil person here in Jericho. Nobody talks to me, much less do they come to my house. They're afraid of me. They think if they come, I'm going to collect some taxes from them. But Zacchaeus heard well. And I want to think that the first thing he heard was his name. Innocent. Pure. Come down. It had been a long time since somebody had pronounced his name the way Jesus did it. He knows my name. He knows who I am. And he still wants to come to my house. Verse 6 tells us this was his response. He made haste. He came down quickly and received him how? Joyfully. He received him happily. I want to say he was almost like skipping as he's walking and saying, Jesus, my house is, it's not too far from here. Actually, it's just around the corner. We're ready to have you come over. Why don't we walk this way? And I think as they're walking away from that tree, people, how were they? Happy or not happy? They were murmuring. That's what the Bible says here. And when they saw it, this is the crowd, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is what? A sinner. The Jericho Times. Jesus goes to Zacchaeus' house, the greatest of sinners. They were murmuring, talking about him. But do you think Jesus cared? He cared about Zacchaeus. He cared about him. I can see him saying, so how was your day today? How are your kids? Are they doing well in school? Are they healthy? And Zacchaeus just here opening up to Jesus, the man he wanted to see, the man he wanted to know, was actually coming to his house to dwell there. Verse 8 tells us Zacchaeus did something incredible that day. Something nobody had heard of anyone do ever, especially a tax collector. He said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to whom? To the poor. How much? Half. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, if I tricked anybody, if I've overcharged anybody, I restore him how much? Fourfold. Four times. So if I took a dollar, how much is that? $4. I'll give him back his money. You see, Jesus had had many encounters with many people. Many had come up to him and called him Rabbi. Many had come up to him, and as we find in Luke chapter 18, verse 18, had even called him good master, good teacher. But Zacchaeus, what did Zacchaeus call Jesus? What did he call him? Lord. Lord. Whatever you want, Lord, I'll do it. Lord, what is it that you want from me? I wanted to be the best in my profession, and I have achieved it. I'm the chief of them. I wanted to have some income to give to my family, and I've achieved it. But Lord, something's missing here. What is it that you want me to do? And this young ruler that we find in Luke chapter 18 asked the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that is who? God, the Lord. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. Do this, and you will have life. Do this, and you will have eternal life. Love God. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And this young ruler said, all these have I kept from my youth up. All this I've done. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, you lack one thing. Sell all that thou hast. Distribute it unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And what happened to this young ruler? He heard this, and he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And then Jesus goes on and explains how hard it would be for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples thought, wow, if they can't make it, we can't make it. Nobody can make it. Impossible then that anybody could make it. And Jesus told his disciples the following. What is impossible with man is possible with who? It's possible with God. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And here we have a man of position, Zacchaeus, a man who was wealthy, but a man who saw Jesus as his Lord. Amen? And who was willing to give half of what he had, was willing to give four times what he had if he had taken anything away from anyone. Jesus was just like, wow, surprised. And verse 9 tells us of chapter 19 that he said the following, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus, you believe that I am who I claim I am, don't you? Yes, Lord, you must be him. Zacchaeus, You are a son of Abraham. And verse 10 tells us, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus, you know why I'm here? I'm here for you, so that you can truly be innocent, so that you can truly be pure. I don't know about you, but for me, it's hard. It's hard to do the right thing. My flesh wants to do something very different from what my mind is telling me I should be doing. And I think Zacchaeus was struggling too. How can I ever do this? How could I be different? How could I change? How can I give when I am so accustomed to take and keep? And I think that day he found the secret, brothers and sisters. The secret to change is not feeling more generous. The secret to change is not feeling more innocent. The secret to change is not feeling like I'm doing things better. But the secret to change is making Jesus your Lord. Amen. Inviting Jesus to dwell in your home. Isn't that what Jesus told his disciples? Brother Kelly, you shared that with Sabbath School this morning. Again, God speaking to us. We go to John 14, actually 15, verse 4 and 5. This is what Jesus told his disciples. How can you be different? How can you do things right? How can you live to a different standard? The only way we can be different, we can be transformed, is found here in verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, dwell in me. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth much what? Fruit. For without me, how much can we do? We can do nothing. Zacchaeus had found out the secret. Jesus, you're not only a teacher. Jesus, you're not only a good man. Jesus, you're Lord. You're my Savior. I'm the one who needs you. I'm broken. I made so many mistakes in my life. And now you're calling me. And you're telling me that I am a son of Abraham. I am the son of the father of faith. And the only way I can be that faithful servant, Lord, is if you dwell in me. That day, everybody was talking about what happened there. And I want to think that as Zacchaeus was just sharing that time with Jesus and his family, I want to think that people in that neighborhood, people in that city, started to see a different Zacchaeus. Amen? It wasn't the same one anymore. Yes, he was still a tax collector, but he was different from the others. Yes, he still had challenges, but he resolved them differently. And I want to think that they would come to Zacchaeus and say, Zacchaeus, how come you're different now? Well, what happened? Let me tell you what happened when Jesus came to my house to dwell. Amen? We're having meetings at our church. Lots of people are coming to see. And who do they want to see? Pastor Tim Jones? Who do they want to see? They want to see Jesus. They do. Is there a crowd out there hiding Jesus from sight? There's a big crowd out there. And they're not happy either. But you and I, we have the privilege here at our own church when we see visitors come to be Jesus to them, to love them, to encourage them, to let them know that there is a Lord and Savior. His name is Jesus, and he's coming soon. Amen. Our hymn of dedication is going to be hymn number 309, I Surrender All. I invite the congregation to stand as we sing this hymn together.